The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you all survived the Halloween week not this past week, but the week prior. We are well into November and Thanksgiving, just a few weeks away. Those high school football games getting ready to start up. We're going to finish that up. Then we get into the championships, the playoffs of high school football. And yes, I've been driving around and somebody has decided to start putting Christmas lights up. It's a little early, folks. Come on. I'm driving down Route 1, and I think it's the Nissan dealership, with the Kelly Nissan dealership. He's got this giant pine tree out in front of his place, and it's wrapped in red, white, and blue Christmas lights. Brian, come on. It's a little early for that, I think. But then I keep driving up Route 1. Over on the left-hand side, there's a couple houses that are all decked out. I mean, there's not that many houses on Route 1, but some of these houses decked out with Christmas lights. A little bit early, in my opinion. Look, I love Christmas as much as the next guy, and I'm Jewish. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, you can say Merry Christmas to me. I really don't care. It doesn't bother me in the least bit. I'm all a big fan of the festive holidays and all the times that the families get together. Thanksgiving, one of my favorite holidays. This year, we're doing something different in the Friedman household. We have, as you well know, I have five kids. I've got Mindy, who's working in Boston, Alana, who's at University of Rhode Island, Jerry's at University of Miami, and I got my two boys that are at North Andover High School. Well, with everybody's schedules and everything that's going on, it's been very difficult to plan family vacations. And we've always basically had people at our house for Thanksgiving. We've hosted 30, 40, 50 people at our house. No problem at all. Always had lots of people over. And this year we decided to break tradition. And we're going away. We're going to go away during Thanksgiving break. It's a time that I know that everybody's going to be home. I don't know where I'm going to go on Thanksgiving night, because you know what? We're going to be at Universal Studios. That's where we're going. And we'll see what happens. We're going to play it by ear. We're going to have a great time as a family. Just the seven of us, five kids, Laura and I. No boyfriends, no girlfriends, no nothing like that. Just the seven of us spending some time together. You know, those windows close very quickly. And we are seeing this window really start to close on us as the kids get older. Everyone's got their own plans. And it's one of the things that, you know, we begin to realize as folks. Now I'm in my mid-50s. I'm 50, well, I guess, can I say early 50s? Is 53 considered mid-50s or early 50s? I don't know. It's close enough. Laura's still 37, of course. But that's what she tells everybody. And you know how that is. But we're all getting older. And you know what? Getting older is something that happens, but getting older doesn't mean old age. And this past week, we ran a seminar over at Teresa's in Middleton for our clients. Over 100 people attended this. And if you're a client of Friedman Financial, you get invited to a bunch of different events that we run, and we make them available exclusively to our clients. You know, sure, they're allowed to invite friends, and a couple of them did, but we generally don't make them public because I really want to continue to add value and continue to open up the dialogue and conversation around everything that has to do about planning for your financial future. And one of the things that has really been relevant lately has been this conversation about planning for retirement beyond the money. Yeah, that's right. When you're planning for retirement, there's a lot more than money that has to do with it. Did you know that the divorce rate in America for those under the age of 50 has dropped 40%? But did you know that the divorce rate for those between the ages of 50 and 65 has doubled, and the divorce rate for those 65 and older has tripled. Does that surprise you? It's called, they're calling it gray divorces, divorcing after 65. And it's something that we talked about in our seminar, and I introduced the seminar, not just gray divorces, but the idea of retirement and how it's different looking. And I started it with a story. It's a story that I actually read here, a part of it on the radio last week with Marion, but it was so compelling to so many people in it. It actually took us away from the PowerPoint presentation that I prepared, because it turned into a really animated and vibrant discussion amongst folks. So what I'd like to do is I want to take a few minutes and read this story. It's a story that's written by Joe Coughlin, and Joe Coughlin runs the Age Lab at MIT. And it's, the Age Lab is all about preparing people for the future and working with researchers to develop products, conversational solutions, technologies, whatever it might be, that will address an aging population, one that is not aging for death, but aging for life. It's a transition. It's what many people are calling the encore career. Living at, starting at age 65, 68, whenever you choose to retire, you're likely to live in retirement truly longer than you've ever worked. And many people don't really believe that because they didn't see that in their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents. But the truth is, it's gonna happen for many, many people. So if you'll indulge me for a few minutes, I'm gonna read you a little story, and then we'll kind of talk about this afterwards. Well, I guess I'll talk about it because you can't participate in the conversation right now. But if what I'm talking to you about makes you really start to rethink retirement and rethink about what you're doing to prepare for your future, I'd encourage you to give our office a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108, where we provide both financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area. We do this beyond money. And some of the stuff that I'm going to share with you today really gives you a sense of the real conversations that we have with our clients to really help them understand what their future is going to look like. So here's how this story goes. Shortly after wrapping up my lecture on the future of retirement, a petite older woman approached me. Confidently, she quickly positioned herself between me and the other attendees that had follow-up questions, and she came close and began speaking to me at a volume that had been more appropriate several feet away. And she says, "I don't know who he is. He's always there, every single day." But before I could ask whom she was describing, I noticed an older man standing slightly off to the side, but a little bit behind her. She continued, picking up her pace and her volume. "He just doesn't understand. I have a daily routine." Now, the man seemed to be stepping back, almost shrinking away. She turned to him and rhetorically said, "Isn't that true?" Not waiting for his response, she turned back to me, seemingly looking to me to agree or referee or say, and she just said, "My husband, now that he's retired, he's always looking to me to feed him, to entertain him, and to keep him busy." Not waiting for my reply, of course, she then took the old man by the arm and walked towards the exit. This was not the first time I had heard from an older woman a now common refrain voiced by many women with retired partners. That comment is, "I married him for life, but not for lunch." A true story. But I want you to think about this, and let's go a little further with this story. People 50 years old and older have the highest divorce rate of all age groups. In fact, according to the Pew Research, the baby boomer divorce rate, the so-called gray divorce, has tripled since the 1990s. Some observers have offered many reasons. Among them, and the most voiced reason, mostly by women, is, "He bores me." That reason may not be altogether incorrect, but perhaps a little incomplete. What if the cause of many divorces is poor planning? Not retirement planning in the financial sense, but longevity planning. The failure to plan how, as a couple, they will spend nearly a full third of their adult lives together. A far more concentrated time together than all the previous decades they had shared before. You see, there's a new retirement math these days that has nothing to do with money, and everything to do with living well together. The new math includes numbers you and your partner probably didn't imagine, let alone plan on. Think about this. Relationships are typically measured in years. We even assign symbolic gifts, achieving years of togetherness, like the 25 years is a silver anniversary, 50 years is a golden anniversary. But in all those early decades, how much time do you really spend together? Between raising kids, careers, and countless other activities and responsibilities that only grow in number and intensity, from young adulthood through midlife, a couple may find that they spend years living together, but very few hours actually being together. Think about that. A couple may find that they spend years living together, but very few hours actually being together. You see, there's this new math around the idea of togetherness. And we want to talk about that math. That's what I want you to understand. Because as you head into retirement, sure, you're thinking about, do I have enough money to retire? But perhaps you should be thinking about, do I have the time, the patience, the temperament, the creativity, the energy to spend a lot more time with the person with whom I've already spent 25, 30, 40 years with, but spend it differently? There used to be a show called Date Night. Steve Carell and Tina Fey did a movie called Date Night. And one of my favorite lines from that, because they were exhausted parents, they were spending this time raising their kids, having jobs, and they hadn't gone out on a date in a while, and they looked at each other, and Steve Carell said to Tina Fey, "You know, we've been married for 20-something years. I think we're just really good roommates." Will that be what retirement is for you? Should we be thinking differently about retirement? I want to share the math. I want to share the thoughts. And we'll have more answers for you when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning. That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2019 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
This month, consider setting yourself apart from the ordinary at Gibley's Menswear in Danvers.
And there's no better way to set yourself apart than in a custom suit made just for you.
You choose the fabric, style, liner, and buttons. Their trusted tailors guide you through the entire process. And the best part of all is your custom suit is made in as little as 8 days.
And new Canada Goose jackets for him and her have arrived just in time for those chilly fall evenings.
Gibley's Menswear. Come in once, you'll be a customer for life.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. Hey, a couple signs have popped up over at the North Shore Mall indicating what's coming. Now, I've told you about most of these. Lifetime Fitness, of course, is coming. Tesla is going to be opening up a service center over in Peabody. And I just saw a sign up that Chase Bank is coming. Now, that's kind of interesting. I mean, you see a lot of Chase Banks in New York and the Jersey area and Mid-Atlantic and maybe even down in Florida. Haven't seen many Chase Banks around here, but apparently they're trying to build a presence, and one of them is going to be at the North Shore Mall. Lots of other development going on. I mean, they're working really hard over there. So it'll be interesting to see what comes next. Each and every Sunday, I'm here to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, a gentleman came into my office and he said to me, "Mark, the reason I am here today is because I love that tagline. You make things sound so clear. You give me that understanding that I simply don't get from the statements that I receive in the mail about my investment accounts, from the financial advisors that I have that simply want to talk over my head, my father, my uncle, my business colleague that don't want to explain it the way that I would understand it. I really appreciate your financial advice in a language you can understand. And of course, we appreciate seeing him and other people that come to visit us. Hey, as I told you a few weeks ago, I told you our schedule was going to get busy with new appointments. And man, did the phone start ringing over the past couple weeks. We can still squeeze in a couple more. If you want to schedule some time to at least get the conversation started before the end of the year, to really help you get your financial house in order, to get a different experience when it comes to your retirement planning, I'd love to talk with you, but let's do it soon, or we're going to have to wait until after the first of the year. Phone number is 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. What happens is you call the office, talk to Jody, my assistant. She'll talk to you for a few minutes, probably send you out our information kit. We'll schedule an initial consultation in our office that costs you nothing, no pressure, no nothing. Everybody who's ever worked with us will say that it is the easiest conversation. You will not feel intimidated, not feel pressured at all. Anyways, when I last left you, I was telling you that I was going to read you a story from a piece that I found from Joe Coughlin, who heads up the Age Lab at MIT. We were sharing this story at a seminar we did this past Thursday on the 8,000 Days of Retirement. We had over 100 of our clients attend this thing. It was a free event, food, drinks, all that great stuff. These are some of the things that we do for our clients. We generally don't open it up to the public. We just say to our clients, hey, you're welcome to come. You want to bring a friend, neighbor, relative, that's fine. And yeah, 100 people showed up. I was actually blown away that many people came for an event that went from 4 to 5:30. I said, who's going to come at 4 o'clock? Well, we invited anybody who was over the age of 55, and clearly there's a lot of people with time on their hands. And they all came and they enjoyed it. But they were really excited about this conversation or this story that I read that I opened with on the new math of retirement togetherness. Let me continue this story. I'm going to read this to you. This is a story that Joe Coughlin had shared in Forbes, and it was so compelling when we read it that it became a conversation that I wasn't expecting at the meeting. So think about this. This is called the new math of retirement togetherness. The whole idea is the fact that as we're approaching retirement, we're about to spend a lot more time as a couple together. We raise the kids together. We work together. But how much time were we really together, despite the fact that we celebrated a 25th anniversary? We celebrated a 30th or a 40th anniversary. Well, how much time do we actually spend with our partners? Think about this. There are 168 hours in a week. Assume that about 8 hours each day are spent sleeping. That totals 56 hours a week, leaving us with 112 waking hours. So there is a little math here, but I'll try to help you through. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reports that the average workday is about 9 hours 5 days a week. For most, that means 45 hours of work away from their partner. Well, that would now leave us with 67 hours. But just getting to work and going home takes time too. The nation's average commute is nearly 30 minutes one way to work, unless if you're like Joe, who commutes in Boston, and you're nearly idle an average of 49 minutes each way. Assuming at least an hour per day for travel to and from work, that's an additional 5 hours, and so that leaves us with 62 waking hours together, assuming that Saturdays and Sundays are actually days off. So on any given Monday through Friday, a couple may spend only 6 hours truly together in the house. And that's 6 hours of togetherness counting showers, bathroom breaks, meals, spending time with the kids, and all the other big and little tasks that make up a day, running errands, all that stuff. Now let's consider retirement. A clean break from the workplace, meaning I'm going to stop working. That's a dividend of 45 waking hours per week given back to you without interest. Because the end of the day grind, also the daily work commute, adds another 5+ hours to game with your mate. So that's simply 45 plus another 5 hours. That's 50 hours that you've just picked up every single week. Suddenly, instead of being limited to just 6 waking hours per day, you have an additional 10 waking hours at home. Just overnight, by retiring, you've gone from spending 6 to 16 hours together every single day. 6 to 16. Is this cause for celebration? Perhaps, perhaps, for many. It's a surprise. Instead of a time to be celebrated, it's not fully planned for. It may be a time that brings unanticipated complexity and even conflict between partners. Many couples cash in their retirement dividend of more time together by making trips dreamed of decades before. Others plan on spending time with friends and family and grandchildren. However, leisure travel for most is only a week or two a year. And family visits are typically over holidays and long weekends because the kids are busy, right? In sharp contrast, life after full-time work is a daily event that will continue for decades. Retirement planning today focuses primarily on financial security. It is now necessary to develop a longevity plan that includes money, but also a comprehensive and collaborative discussion that couples must have about what they will do and how they plan living together for the many years that are likely to be considered one full third of their adult lives. For now, many may not have a plan, but they're muddling through. Women appear to be taking action quicker than men to ensure that their later years are filled with activity and income, not just activity planning for their retired mate. But some men are taking a defensive approach. Pete, Joe Coughlin's Uber driver, keeps busy by staying on the road 4 to 5 days a week. With a full head of white hair, dressed in khakis, a polo shirt, and sweater, Pete looks more like someone on his way to a member meeting of a high-end golf club than somebody who has found navigating traffic for 7 to 8 hours a day a side hobby. I ask him, why does he work so many days in retirement? And as he puts it, he says, retirement... Well, it's been a great change after years at a desk. I'm outside, I get to meet people, and talk with interesting folks. Looking at me in the rearview mirror, he adds with a big smile, there's another reason, too. Driving gets me out of the wife before the wife kills me. And I thought that story made a lot of folks laugh. It held the attention of a lot of people, but you know, folks, that's true. One of the big questions I often ask people when they come to my office... And they stop in for when we're doing initial consultations and ongoing conversations about planning for retirement. I said, all right, you got enough money. Let's not worry about the money so much. Tell me what it is that the two of you enjoy doing together besides eating out. Think about that. What is it that the two of you enjoy doing together? Not with the kids. The kids can't be involved because the kids are all out of the house. What is it that the two of you enjoy doing together besides eating out? And if travel's the answer, well, that's nice, but that's maybe 3 weeks out of the year. What are you going to do for the other 49? What do you like doing together? Oftentimes when I press it a little bit, it's like, stop asking me this question. This is getting me feel very uncomfortable. And I do. But I raise it as a conversation point. Because, folks, retirement is a much larger conversation than should I be in a large cap value fund or a large cap growth fund? Is my asset allocation proper? What are the taxes I need to be paying? Yeah, that's part of it. But if you want to deal with a financial advisor, if you want to prepare for the longevity economy, for the life of living, for the likelihood of living a long life in retirement, 20, 30 years. You got to figure out what you enjoy doing together. Or, and I know you don't want to hear me say this, but perhaps it's the reason why the divorce rate over 65 has tripled since 1990. People find that they're bored of their spouse. Is that you? Maybe you don't want to say it. Maybe there's a reason, things you can do about it. Maybe there's conversations you can have. It may be the reason why many more couples need to seek counseling, not because they have a problem, but because they want to be sure that they understand each other better, so that they can engage in better conversations, so that they can truly explore what the other spouse has been thinking about or not even considering, but that they could do it together. I think the increased number of people seeking couples counseling, not for marriage counseling, but just conversation counseling, is really going to be a trend in the future. And who will be skilled to provide that advice? I find that oftentimes, even with Laura, my wife, when we have the opportunity to have a conversation or simply just sit on the couch and look at our phone, we do the latter just because it's easy and it's relaxing, right? And we get all ticked off at our own kids for spending too much time playing video games and being on the phone or Snapchatting and Instagramming. The reality is, we probably do it ourselves. How much time do you spend looking at your phone when you wake up in the morning or before you go to bed? Is your phone even on your nightstand? Is it the first thing you do when you wake up? Is it the first thing you, is the last thing you put down before you close your eyes? I know it is for me, and I know that that's not the right thing to do. Laura and I actually talked about leaving our phones downstairs in chargers and going up to the bedroom afterward and going to sleep. And it worked for about a week and a half. And it was actually not a problem at all. But the one thing leads to another, and we go back to these old habits. But as we begin preparing for retirement, as we begin thinking about how are we going to spend our retirement years, folks, it's not about the money. The money can be adjusted. The things you want to do, you say, yeah, I want to travel. You're going to travel for a period of time, and then that's going to slow down. You're going to want to do certain things. You're going to probably downsize in your house. You're going to spend less on things that you're spending more on today. But you are going to be spending, for certain, more time together. That's not slowing down. You are going to spend more time together. And how do you make the most of those moments? Those are critical conversations. That, my friends, is financial planning and retirement advice in a language you can understand. That's what we do here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. And for many, folks are reaching out to me and saying, you know, Mark, the relationship that I've had with my financial advisor or the fact that I'm trying to do retirement planning on my own is something that I don't think I can do anymore because there's so much complexity around my life, whether it's dealing just with my own spouse and living in the life that I have in retirement, but also addressing the needs of my children. Or perhaps even my aging parents. Who would have ever thought that at 75 or 80 years old, your parents may still be alive and you're still needing to have to cater to them too? Lots of stuff going on. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning from a big perspective, the money, the conversations, the taxes, all of the emotions that are around it, making sure that you know what everything is and what everything is worth, that's the time when you should be coming in to see us. Let me give you some ways in which you can reach out to us. Perhaps you want to just learn a little bit about more about the firm. Best way to do that is to go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. You've heard me say that 1,000 times. At the top of the page, there's a bunch of tabs. And one of them talks about how we work and who we are. If you click on that tab about how we work, you can find information about what an initial consultation looks like. What happens? What do you bring to it? Then there's a little slide deck that talks about the experience that clients have at our firm. What can you see? What should you expect to see from a financial plan? What should you expect from a review meeting? What are some of the conversations that we'll always be raising so that we keep you current, we keep you relative, so that relevant, I should say, so that you always know where you are on your journey? That you can afford what you want to do now, but you can afford it later and help out others along the way. The other way to schedule a meeting, of course, is to call our office, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Call the office during regular business hours. Jody's happy to learn a little bit about you. She's my assistant. We'll send you out an information kit and schedule time for you to come in. And the third way for you to just stay on top of us and to get some financial advice in a language you can understand is to sign up for our newsletter, Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 a.m. All you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, sign up for the newsletter. It's that simple. It's free. And we got more free advice coming right up. We got to take a quick break. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Boston, are you ready? I've got the stuff that you want. The Bodyguard the Musical, the award-winning stage show that has taken the world by storm, is now making its Boston area premiere. Based on the smash hit movie, The Bodyguard is a thrilling new stage musical featuring more than 15 hit songs made famous by Whitney Houston. Rediscover one of the greatest soundtracks of all time and get swept away by the iconic love story live on stage. The story you know, the music you love, the musical you've been waiting for. The Bodyguard is at Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater now through November 10th only. Get your tickets today at nsmt.org.
Sponsored by Big Jim's Auto Body.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant at 41 Cross Street. I had to breathe there for a second. 41 Cross Street in Peabody. We've been there providing financial planning and advice in Peabody for more than 50 years. Yeah, my father started the firm back in 1968. He retired in 2007, but I joined the firm in 1991 and took over running it, of course, after Dad retired. You've met my business partner, who's been with me almost 20 years, Marion Gilman. She's been on this show a few times. But today I am running here solo. It's another Sunday, and delighted to be here with you. I've been talking about a seminar that we ran for our clients over at Teresa's this past Thursday called the 8,000 Days of Retirement. It was this really interesting research study that I think is so, so incredibly relevant about planning for retirement and how retirement looks different today than what any other generation would have ever imagined, and how it will look different for the generations that will retire in the decades that will follow. It was fascinating. And one of the things that has really led to the change in how we think about retirement, what we do in retirement, is that life isn't about just golfing long walks on the beach and sitting in a rocking chair. I mean, if you think about it, decades ago, what did you see pictures of when someone talked about planning for retirement? That was basically the landscape of any television commercial, any newspaper advertisement, magazine publication. It was either about leisure time on a beach, playing on a golf course, rocking in a rocking chair, and playing with grandchildren. That was about it. Well, the world today is far different. Folks that are retiring today at 65, 68, 70, 72, they're learning that life in retirement is going to be a long time. In fact, life in retirement may be as many as, if not more, than 8,000 days. 8,000 days. If you actually back your time clock up and think to yourself, we've actually lived our lives in 8,000 day segments. The first segment was what we'll call the learning phase. It's the first 8,000 days. It's from the time you're born, you go to school, you enjoy your teen years, you attend college. So it takes you essentially from birth to, say, 22 years old. That life is pretty well planned out for you. You know the things you're going to have to do. Mom and Dad have told you, here's the things you're going to have to do. So it's pretty scheduled, though everyone goes their own path, of course. We kind of know what those responsibilities are going to be. Those second 8,000 years are what we call the growing phase. It starts at 23, and it goes to age 45. That's a period of time where you're going to start your professional career. Maybe you'll get into a relationship, you'll get married. Maybe you'll become a homeowner and begin to have children. All of those things are things that would be expected for somebody between 23 and 45, right? Everything's expected like that. What's kind of interesting is as the average age of marriage has moved up dramatically over the past few decades, did you know that the average person here in Massachusetts gets married around age 30? Think about if you're listening to this show, if you're in your 60s or 70s or 80s, I would bet you got married at 21 to 23, 24. I know I was 25 when I got married. Laura was 23 when she got married. That number is moving up. In fact, the number around home ownership, the years around home ownership, is moving out as well. Many 20-year-olds are not buying homes. Even if they have the money to do it, even if they have those great jobs, they'd rather pay more for rent but have the opportunity to get out and do things and not have all of those responsibilities. But then there's that third phase. We've already been through 16,000 days of our life, the learning phase, the growing phase, and now there's the stage that we call maturity, the maturing age. And that starts at age 46. And for the next 22 years, it takes us to 68. During that period of time, we're probably entering the prime earning years of our life. We're enjoying income. We're buying bigger cars, bigger houses. We're going on nicer vacations. We spend more money going out to eat. We don't mind giving some money to the kids. We help them out a little bit. We've got a lot of flexibility. Our 401k is starting to grow. Our years of service at the company that we work with gives us the likelihood that we may have a pension down the road, whatever it might be. So those are all periods of time we know that's going to happen. And then we hit what's called the exploring year. Some people call it retirement. Well, retirement, let's say it starts at 65, 68, 70, whatever you want to call it. I love when people come to me and they say, well, when I retire, I want to play more golf, I want to spend more time with the grandchildren, and I want to travel. Well, retirement years ago used to mean I'm done working. But that's not the case for many people who choose to retire these days. Many people who want to retire think to themselves, well, I might not want to work the daily grind of working 8 hours a day. Maybe I'd like to find some part-time work. You know, I want to keep sane. I want to stay busy. And in fact, if we talk about some of the earlier stories that we read in the show, some people just want to get out of the house just to not be home that much. So the exploring phase, that last 8,000 days, call it 68 to age 90. 68 to age 90, yikes. Do you know that there's a 65% chance that if you're a middle to upper middle income family, at age 65, there's a greater than 50 to 60% chance that you'll both live to 95 years old. So think about that. If you think, well, my folks only live to 70 or they only live to 81, so I'm not counting on that. Count on it, folks. Life is different. So let's talk about these various stages of retirement. There's four phases. If you kind of break it down, there's 8,000 days, and you really can't break it down into 2,000-day segments because each of us handle things a little bit differently. But I often call the first phase of retirement, it's called the honeymoon phase. The honeymoon phase talks about the prospect of retirement. You've walked away from your big job, but perhaps you're doing some part-time work. Perhaps you want to go on those vacations that you've wanted to do. You do a couple of them. You do two or three of them. You get to spend some more time with the grandkids. You get through that honey-do list around the house. And then all of a sudden, after five or six or seven of those years go by, you begin to realize, all right, I got most of my list out of the way. Now what? And what happens is you move into what's called the big decision phase. The big decision phase says, puts you at a point in time where you finally hit that place where you say, I'm no longer going to work again. Now, that may be a physical restriction that you can't work, or just simply mentally, you just say, I'm done working. Maybe you want to find more time volunteering. Maybe you want to find more time around the house. But it's during this big decision phase that we see the divorce rate in couples go up. That's right. It's because you begin to realize, oh my God, instead of spending 6 hours a day together, we're now spending closer to 16 hours a day together, not for one day, but for decades. And if we can't entertain ourselves and each other and find things that we enjoy doing together, we're either going to grow miserable together because we'll just say, splitting up would just be too big of a pain in the neck. Where would we move all the boxes? Where would we live? My knees ache. Where would I go? So you just live miserably together. That's not what you want. Because after the big decision phase, and no one knows how long that is, then one of you begins to take on some kind of an illness or some kind of a chronic illness. Maybe it's your knees. Maybe it's one of your senses, your eyes, your hearing, something isn't working. And now you need to manage medications. And it's no longer one visit a month to the doctors, but your routine and your regular schedule is more and more visits to the doctor. And one person is busy taking care of you while the other person is being cared for. And that can be stressful. And then what happens if the person that was caring for you all of a sudden becomes ill as well? and now you're both getting miserable. And now it might mean that you need some other types of assistance. Maybe it's assisted living. Maybe it's long-term care. Maybe it's moving in with the kids. Maybe it's downsizing because you don't want to walk up and down the stairs anymore. Those are some major longevity issues. And in fact, that longevity period can last 10, 15, 20 years in some cases. Just because you're sick doesn't mean you're going to die. You got to figure this one out. And how are you going to do this together? Who is going to be your support system? Someone asks the question, where will you go in this longevity cluster? As you begin to age and you begin to slow down, where will you go for an ice cream? Imagine you're in your house, you're bored, you're tired of watching Netflix or reruns of Seinfeld, and you say, I want to go get an ice cream. Well, how do you get an ice cream? Where do you go for an ice cream? Well, does someone have to drive you, or are you going to put yourself behind the wheel and drive yourself there? Are you putting people in danger by getting behind the wheel? How will you change that light bulb that's hanging from the fixture in the ceiling? Are you about to climb up that ladder? Are you going to call your grandson to come over, or are you going to pay an electrician just to change a light bulb? What are you going to do? And then where's the closest hospital? More and more people look to retire down to different locations. They want to downsize. They want better weather. But when you really want your medical care, how close is that hospital going to be? Those are very important questions in that longevity phase. And then, of course, I told you there's four phases. There's another phase. That fourth phase is called the solo journey phase. Because if you're together, there will be a time when one of you is alone. It's going to happen. And when you're all alone, you know what ends up happening? Those four phases start all over again. You enter, after you get through the mourning period, you're now in a honeymoon period. Perhaps you're thinking, I get to do all the things that I wanted to do. Maybe I'm seeking out a new relationship. Maybe I want to have a different relationship with my children or my grandchildren. Maybe I want to spend more time with the garden club or be a docent at the area museum. But my husband just dragged me down a bit, or my wife dragged me down a bit. And you start that phase all over again. It's really interesting. But one of the things that's also keeping people more active and more alive today is technology. Did you know that the number of Uber drivers over the age of 60 is the fastest growing demographic? I'm not saying over 80, but over 60. These are retirees that say, you know what? Hey, I could drive for a few hours. I think to myself sometimes when I've got some downtime, I go, it might be kind of cool if I got nothing to do for a couple hours. Wouldn't it be cool to just be an Uber driver? I'm not doing that right now, but, you know, just it's a real easy thing to do. Or if you're at home, and let's say you're kind of stuck at home, do you realize how much more you can have done at home now because of technology? You can have groceries delivered. You can have food delivered. You can have medication delivered. You can have Uber or some other service come and pick you up. You want to be able to communicate with the kids. You want to play games interactively. You want to have your medication, put your technology on a schedule so that every couple hours a bell rings to remind you to take your medication. You can set the timers on your oven, on your refrigerator, on your television, all of those different things. Technology is exploding, and it's all sorts of things that we're learning from the Age Lab at MIT. And it's a lot of things that we shared with our clients during a meeting that we held this past week. In fact, going into the meeting about 3 weeks ago, we sent a note to all of our clients. We asked them to share with us, besides email and texting, what are the 10 most popular apps that you use on a regular basis? And we heard from 97 people who responded back to us within 48 hours with a list of their top 10. And they gave us more than 400 different apps that they use. But the ones that were most used, I thought was very, very interesting. The top five or six, the largest one, of course, was Google. Next was Amazon. Next was Waze. Some people used Uber, but the biggest one from transportation, everyone loves the JetBlue app. If you think about it, living here in Massachusetts, where does everybody travel to? They love their JetBlue app. They love their Maps app. They love Yelp. They love Radio.com, RedSox.com, the Boston Herald, Market Watch, SiriusXM, Starbucks, ESPN, Pandora, and one that I had no idea, GHIN. The GHIN app. Now, I know that stands for something. You know what that is, though? If you play golf, I guess that's a national handicap app where you can dump in your scores and get your handicap done. So a lot of people like that. It amazed me, though. We had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of apps. If you want to see what they all look like, sign up for my newsletter because we're going to post this graphic up there, and you can click on every single one of those apps. My newsletter, you can sign up for it at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of the page, put your email in, and you will start getting my newsletter every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more financial advice in a language you can understand right after these messages. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to North Shore 104.9.
Just got paid.
Loved one at home? Does he or she need round-the-clock care? Caregiving is hard. Caregiver Homes from SeniorLink is here to help. If your loved one is Medicaid eligible, their unique program provides live-in family caregivers with ongoing guidance and daily support. You'll receive support from their nurses and social workers and have access to their secure app, Vela, so you can always feel like help is just a text away. You would also get a tax-free daily stipend. To find out if you qualify, call Caregiver Homes from SeniorLink at 866-666-9039. Online at caregiverhomes.com.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has provided financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore. At Friedman Financial, we know that planning for your retirement is overwhelming. Don't leave this important decision to chance, or even worse, the algorithms of a faceless technology solution. Our certified financial planner professionals meet with you face-to-face to know you and your retirement goals. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, meet with a certified financial planner at Friedman Financial in person. You deserve a strategy that incorporates every aspect of your retirement plan. To learn more, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. We've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, and the southern New Hampshire area since 1968. Yeah, that's right. 2020, we'll be celebrating 52 years, a full deck of cards. That's what it's been. It has been a deck of cards of experiences. One of the beauties of being in the business that I'm in, and no, I didn't start 52 years ago. My father did. I joined him in 1991. Everybody has questions about money. Everybody wonders, what is everybody else doing with their money? What do people, how much does everybody make? Am I making enough? Do I have enough money put aside for retirement? Do I spend too much? Am I spending too little? What do I need to cut back on? All that kind of stuff. All of those are probably petty kind of questions that a lot of people ask. But we do get a peek behind the curtain to see how it all works. And oftentimes, a lot of what you think about people's finances are far, far different from what the wealth really is. You'd be amazed at the number of people that you know whose income and ability to spend money is supplemented by something more than just the money that they make from work. Mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, a trust fund, whatever it is providing supplemental income to some of these folks, which really takes the pressure off a little bit. What I thought was fascinating through some of the studies and work we've done recently, and it's a study that comes from the Age Lab at MIT, is the fact that there are more couples, more retired couples today supporting adult children, not 20-year-old children, but children in their 20s, in their 40s and 50s than ever before. In fact, it's up quadruple. Four times what it was just 20 years ago. Retirees are supporting adult children and families over the age of 40 four times more than ever before. And the amount of money that that retirees are spending to support their parents has actually leveled off. It used to be this thing called the sandwich generation, getting squeezed between aging parents and growing children. But the most frustrating part by most of these retirees is the fact that the retirees that are supporting their 40 and 50-year-old children is financial support to a family that makes far more money than the retiree ever did and does right now. Don't you think that's interesting? And many retirees feel very good about it. Many don't. But many do. They think nothing of it. They say, well, I'd rather give with warm hands rather than cold ones. Or, I don't want my children to have to suffer the way I suffered. Yet, I think it's interesting when we talk about suffering. Many children in their 40s and 50s are making good six-figure incomes. Well, these retiree families never made six figures their entire life. They're very happy living off of $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a month, while their children need $10,000 to $15,000 a month just to cover their month-to-month expenses. That's because they wanted larger houses, they wanted bigger mortgages, wanted to drive fancier cars, needed to get the kids fancier clothes, buy fancier purses, and go on nicer vacations. And then they want the higher-end, you know, appliances in the kitchen and all that other kind of stuff, right? Yet, they don't seem to, many of them don't have the resources, but they spend the money anyways because they know that retired mom and dad will help out. And I'm not saying, I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing these days, because we have become, America has become far, far more wealthier than it ever has before. Now, that's not the case across this country, but it's certainly the case here in Massachusetts, in New York, in California, in Chicago, in Miami, in many of the major metropolitan cities, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., many of those places where extraordinary wealth has just really blown up. And it becomes part of the divide, I think, that exists here in this country as well, where, you know, there's parts of our country that say they don't understand what we're going through, and we as here in Massachusetts, we say, well, they don't understand what we're going through. And it becomes a political challenge. It becomes a conversational challenge. We're actually losing friends through social media because of it. But I thought something was very interesting from a study that came out of the Age Lab that I was meeting with Joe Coughlin, who's the director of the Age Lab, and he talked about this thing called breaking old age myths. And, you know, one of the myths was that, well, at age 65, you just retire, right? Well, more and more people are not retiring at 65 anymore. In fact, they're not even feeling old at 65. They're going, why the heck would I want to retire? More and more people are putting off taking Social Security until age 70 and taking a 32% increase from what their full retirement benefit would have been by simply waiting, because they're working, they don't need the money, all that kind of stuff. But the one that I thought was really interesting that Joe brought to our attention was there is this belief that retirees are always thinking that Florida is the best place to retire. And that's where it's been. I mean, it's been Florida, right? Everyone goes down there. We've seen how it's grown down there. And he said, Mark, he says, that's not the case nationally. Nationally, people are not retiring to Florida. They're retiring to the Carolinas, to Kentucky, to Alabama, to Mississippi, to Texas, to Arizona. They're going to warmer cultures. But they're going to places that are warmer, not nearly as expensive, not nearly as crowded, and locations that will be just growing like crazy over the years. He says, but what's rather interesting, he said, while many people are going and retiring to those locations, there's a few states that still view Florida as the location. And here on the East Coast, those two states are Massachusetts and metropolitan New York. He says, they're not going to any of those other states. They're going to Florida. I thought that was interesting. And I said, well, why do you think that is? He says, well, here is in his opinion, why that's happening. And he's a professor at MIT, works out of Cambridge. And he says to me, Mark, he says, most Americans here in Massachusetts, retirees in Massachusetts and in metropolitan New York, feel very comfortable in the lifestyle and the conversations and the friends and all that they have. But going to the Carolinas or going to Alabama or Georgia or Texas or Arizona or Kentucky makes them very uncomfortable. They begin to wonder, Can I still build friendships and have conversations at a coffee shop or a restaurant that will align with my political biases, with my social biases? It's rather interesting. They felt in Florida, Florida's a swing state. You know, you can go into Florida. I've said this many times on the radio. I'll walk into a coffee shop meeting with a client down in Florida, and at every booth around me, they're all having some kind of a political conversation or a discussion about what's on the news. And it's very diverse. But that's not so much the case here in Massachusetts, is it? Nor is it the case in many of the Carolinas or in Alabama or Texas or Georgia. Just this past week, I was in Charleston, South Carolina. I went there just on a vacation, just for a few days to go shopping and have at the food, because the food's always great in Carolina. Had plenty of fried chicken and grits and sausage gravy and biscuits, and it was fabulous, though I need to now go on a diet. But we also spent time visiting plantations and walking through some of the historic homes and taking some tours there. And there were a lot of things that stood out to me as something different from what I would see in other places. But one that really struck me, and my wife as well, was how proud those that took us on tours of the plantations, of the historic homes, how proud they were of the slave culture that existed in the 1800s. And they made excuses for it. I mean, they basically said, you know, don't demean us for the fact that we had slaves, because had it not been for the slaves, we wouldn't have the richness that exists here in South Carolina. We wouldn't have these beautiful homes. We wouldn't have these beautiful plantations. We wouldn't have the wealth that exists here in Carolina. Yeah, it made me feel a little uncomfortable, but it was a bias, and it was rather interesting. It was very interesting. We were sitting at a restaurant, called Five Church on Market Street. It's an old converted church. And we were out with another couple who are our best friends. It turns out we were married on the same day. We had lost track of each other for a few years. We got married on the same day. And it turns out our honeymoon happened to be on the same plane at the same hotel in Aruba. And we've been lifelong friends ever since. So periodically, we go away together on vacations. And so we go to this restaurant, Five Church. And we had told them that we were celebrating our anniversary. And the waiter comes over to the table and he says, "Oh, happy anniversary." And I pointed to Andrew, who was sitting across from me, and I said, we've been celebrating our 27th anniversary. And Laura says to Barbara, "Yeah, we're celebrating our 27th anniversary." And it kind of caught the waiter off guard. And then he said, "Oh, you said you were from Massachusetts, right?" And I thought that was interesting how he grabbed that. But there are, you know, it's a very different experience down there. Everybody, I got to tell you, the nicest people you would ever meet. They would not say a nasty word about anybody in the most nicest, kindest way. But it was different. Would I continue to go back and visit these states and visit these communities? Absolutely I would, because it's about learning about our culture, about learning about our history, learning about why we're so proud as a country for being able to be who we want to be, have that freedom of speech, do what we want. Does it make me feel uncomfortable sometimes? Yeah, a little bit, but I'm sure I make people feel uncomfortable even just listening to this radio show day in and day out. But that's what life is all about. It's not about being insular. It's being, you know, inclusive. And that's what I want to be. I want to make sure that we're experiencing everything. I want to make sure that you're experiencing everything you can as you approach retirement, as you approach the best years and decades of your life. We got to wrap things up for today, but we will be back again next Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. with more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor
sponsor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.